to the Woman at the Well. Good afternoon, good evening, and God bless. Welcome to The Woman at the Well, hosted by myself, Beverly Black, and I'm honored to have with me as my guest, sisters Wanda Burnside and Ramel Lee. I want to let you know that The Woman at the Well is co-sponsored by these two women of God, and also we are sponsored by Genius is Common. So please visit our sponsors. Wanda Burnside and Ramel Lee, our guest, will be speaking with me shortly, and before we conclude our show, you will have all of their information so that you can find out where to get their publications and support them. Meanwhile, please also support our sponsors, Genius is Common, at www.geniusiscommon.com. So once again, welcome to The Woman at the Well, hosted by Beverly Black, and we are brought to you live by Tribe Family Channel, and I am the creator of each entity. So thank you for listening in. You could have been anywhere in the world, and the fact that you are here listening right now tells me that we are doing the right thing. So thank you for your support, and we are going to get into the show right now. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest, starting with Wanda J. Burnside. She is the founder and president of Write the Vision Ministries and Media Productions International, founded in 1995. She is an award-winning writer and poet. She also is the publisher and founder of The Lamp Newsletter, which has a staff of ministry leaders and writers in the UK and Australia, and I'm sure it's growing beyond. And also, Ramel T. Lee is the founder and president of Touching Your Heart Ministries, founded in 2006. She is a poet, author, prophetic writer, businesswoman, and the owner of Six Gift Basket Ministries. Through her basket ministries, Ramel has created a galore of specialty products for men, women, and children. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to welcome to The Woman at the Well, Wanda and Ramel. Hello, sisters. How are you?
We are wonderful.
Praise the Lord. It's such a blessing to be with you this evening. Oh, Sister Beverly, our hearts are delighted.
I'm glad to have you here. I thank you both once again, Sister Wanda, Sister Ramel, for being here. Thank you for always lending your support to Tribe Family Channel. You both have been supporters of Tribe Family Channel's bookshelf. You have had your own radio show. We thank you and honor you for that. And it's an honor to be able to speak with you and have you kind of on the other end of the microphone answering the questions as opposed to asking them. And, of course, you're always teaching and availing yourselves and your ministry to others. And so this is in that same theme, testimonial-wise. So I'm going to start with the categories that we're going to cover, which are faith, business, health, and wellness. We're going to start with Sister Wanda, and then Sister Ramel is going to be following. That way our listeners can get used to your voices rather than me switching it up. And then there's 5 points that we're going to cover under faith, and then I'll have you all, after we've covered these 5 points, give your final dissertation on faith. So starting with you, Sister Wanda, if you could briefly tell our audience, what does faith mean to you? And Sister Ramel will follow.
All right. Before I do that, Sister Beverly, I want to again say thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you and your listening audience. It's such an honor to be a part of your work and the calling that God has put on your life. And again, I want to thank you for allowing us to have Restore. It was a blessing in 2016 to have that ministry opportunity. And then, as you said, that we are part of the Tribe Family Bookshelf. So thank you.
And amen. It's my pleasure and honor.
Thank the Lord. In answer to your question about faith, you know the Bible tells us without faith, we can't even please God. It is a key. Faith to me is the main key for anything that I have to do in the Lord, in this life. Without the faith, without trust, without understanding, without me knowing that I can put my confidence, I can put my whole weight, I can put everything that I am in God's hand. That's faith. You know, it's none of me, it's all of Him. And I want the listeners to know that regardless to circumstances in your life and difficulties and challenges, that you can put your faith, your confidence in God. When we are walking with God and living in His presence, we will find that our relationship is based upon faith. That is trust. If I believe and trust in someone, then I can always believe that my life will go in the direction of that person I'm putting confidence in. That's just like if we have faith in a certain recipe and somebody said, girl, you ought to try putting some red beans and rice and add a little bit of cayenne pepper and put some Old Bay in there and put some bacon in there, and girl, it's going to taste good. And if you want to top it off with some bacon, trust me, it's going to taste delicious. Now, if I have faith in that person that I'm talking to and confidence that they know what they're talking about, then I will go ahead and operate and function and do that recipe that they recommended without fear, without doubt, without any hesitation. Because my faith level is up to know that this cook is talking about what they know. And when we have faith, it's the experience. Our faith grows through experience. So as I said about that recipe, for your listeners out there, if you know that Grandma Nim and Auntie Nim did that rice and beans that way, you're going to serve it as a tradition. Year after year, if it's the family picnic, everybody's counting on you to come up with the red beans, rice, what I was talking about. It's, people will start to put their confidence in you. So they'll trust you, believe that is a guarantee it's going to work. So in my talk to you about faith, it's the same thing. When God speaks, He says something to me. I know that last time He did it, and last time He came through, last time He made a way, the last time He showed me that He would take care of whatever I need and He has the best interest for me, then I have my trust. I have confidence. So that's what faith is for me, is that I can rely on and rely in God, knowing that He will do what He said He would do in His word and without any reservation. Now, you know Satan is going to come and test our faith and say, did God say that? You know, last time. But we got to face our eyes to the hill and just keep our confidence in Him. So what does faith mean to me is that I can totally depend, trust in God, and know that He's going to work it out and it's going to be for my good, because the Bible told us that all things work together for our good. And if I have my faith in God, listeners, no matter what you're going through, when you put your all in, like they say, all in, yeah, all in. When I say all in, my trust, my faith, my hope, and I'm going to believe that whatever He says is going to work out for me. So that's what faith means.
You know what? Amen, 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 amen. Now, we could pass the play right now because that was church and that was real church. That was
Thank
a
you,
word.
Jesus.
And I
Thank
really,
you.
Really love the interchange of faith and trust, Wanda, the way
yes.
you
yes.
delivered that and presented that. And, you know, I had the woman at the well yesterday, and one of the things that we talked about was when we talked about faith, and the analogy was, you know, when you step out on like a floorboard or something, you know that it's going to bear you up. You know, you walking on that bridge. You know that bridge going to bear you up. And so you reminded me of that when you know you step out and you know you have that trust and that faith that whatever you're standing on, which it should be God's word and trust, you know
His
that
word.
You have the faith that He's going to bear you up. Amen. So now, Sister Ramel, So, Sister Ramel Lee, what does faith mean to you?
Well, I'm telling you, I am just so honored and blessed to be here once again with this beautiful audience. And Sister Burnside has me all stirred up. I'm trying to
able
to talk, but oh, she got me stirred up. And when I think about faith, to me, faith is everything.
Yes, it is.
It's like breathing air to me. I can't live or even operate without faith, because when you know God and you know what God can do for you, you're going to cling to His faith. I have a poem called "Cling to God's Hope." So everything that we do should be surrounded by what God is going to do. And, you know, we just have to humble ourselves. And I live by faith. I walk by faith. I breathe the air just by faith. You know, it's something that is so significant to you in your life. And a lot of times we don't really see how God is working in our lives, and we don't even see faith. I'm sitting here right now, but I'm sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
Thinking this chair is going to hold me up. I didn't just go to that chair and say, okay, I think it's going to hold me up. But when you sat, you just know it's going to hold you up. And that's the way God is. Everything about Him is just that you know that whatever you do, that you can just lean on and depend on Him. You can trust Him like Wanda's just talking about, the trust in God. Everything in your life, you need to be able to have some stability. You need to be able to just go in when you don't even know what's going on in your world. You don't even know that it's a shattering experience that you're going through. That God is going to be there for you. So when you pray and you believe, faith that God is going to work out your situation. It may not be how you think it's going to work out, but He already has it all set in time. If we knew everything beforehand, we'd be scared. We'd be running the other way. When He give us assignments and things to do, we would be running the other way because we'd say, oh, I can't do that. It's just too big. I can't handle it. So God just gives you just a little bit. He shows you. He's instructing you. He's teaching you. He's holding you up. He's giving you the vision.
Come on now.
But
amen.
If we really knew how big He can operate in our life, we would be just frightened. We would just say, oh, my, I can't do it. I can't do
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
But
now, there's some background noise. Let me just interrupt you. I don't know who's on whose end, but we're live and being recorded, so there's some shuffling in the background. You may want to mute your phone if you're not the one speaking and tasking. Okay, go ahead, Sister Ramel.
Okay, so he just, you know what? My faith is just to believing and receiving the promises of what God has established in His Word.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
For each and every one of us. It's,
it,
you know what? We just have to keep trusting and looking to Him, because He has all the answers. You know, He molds us, He reshapes us, He develops our character. He does everything. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So, you know, we just have to stay humble and walk in what God is calling us to do, because He has a job and a purpose for all of us in our lives. And so when I talk about faith, it's like every step I take is a step towards what He is calling me to. I may not understand it. I may not know all the ins and outs of what it's going to mean to me, but we can visualize it, because all the miracles and things that are happening in our own lives every single day.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Every day we get a miracle. When we wake
Amen.
Up in the morning, we get a miracle. If we can open
Waking
our eyes,
Waking up
that's
is
a miracle.
A miracle.
If
that
we can
is
get
the
out
miracle
of the bed,
right there.
It's a miracle. If we
Come
can
on.
Speak, if we can
Come
move
on.
Our fingers,
Come on.
You know, if we can blink our eyes,
Ooh, well,
all of these
Amen.
Things, these are so tangible.
All
but
the stuff
we,
that
we
take for
we
granted.
We don't look at it. We just think it's going to automatically happen. But
right, exactly.
But God is the one that's making all of that possible in our lives. So, you know, I just give him honor and praise for that. And that is where, when it comes to that faith, oh my, it's
you know, you saying a word now. Yeah.
It's
well,
so
you said it
precious.
Was everything. You
it's
know,
everything.
And so let me jump in here with you. Yeah, you said it was everything, and you're absolutely right. It really, truly is everything. And I'm with you, Sister Ramel. I don't have to know the ins and the outs. I don't need to know what's around the next corner. If I have all my trust in God, God is around the corner. He's there.
Yes,
He's
yes,
going to
yes.
prepare it before I get there. So now...
Oh, yes.
I don't want us to run out of time, so you guys might have to, you ladies may have to shorten your answers a little bit, because that
All
was
right.
just question number one. But that's okay, because that's real church. And that's a testament of, you know, the type of faith and power that you ladies walk in, you know. So that's why I was really looking forward to this conversation. And let me let our listeners know, I met these beautiful women because Sister Wanda saw a post that I put on Twitter, and she thought that I was in trouble, and I was simply fine, but she would not let go. she wouldn't let go. I was just telling my niece how we met. I said she thought I was in trouble, and she reached out,
yes.
and I had to
Crazy.
Assure her that, no, I was fine, and she wouldn't
yes.
let go until she knew I was fine, but she's been holding on. We've been holding on to each other ever
yes.
since. So
every
bless her heart for that, because,
you.
You know, it's very rare, because, you know, people say they pray for you, and they stay there, you know, in your corner, and they say, but here I was, a total stranger to you, and you thought that I was in some way, shape, form, or fashion going through something, and you
Thank
gave
God.
Me a word and a word and another word and a word, and here we
thank
are,
you,
you know, all this time later, friends and sisters. And so I want to
thank
you,
Lord.
And I wanted
yes,
to
Lord.
just remind our audience and to testify. So now let me shorten my breath too and go on to number two. So when did you choose your faith and why? And let me explain this. Because historically, when we think about faith and we look at our people and the diaspora of African-American people or anyone, every continent has their own belief in God in some way, shape, form, or fashion. They have their faith. They have their religion. So we're usually born into and inherit the religion and the faith of our foremothers and fathers. So with that being said, I was first introduced to God by my grandmother. Her church was on my knees at her bedside learning to pray at
Yes.
6 years old. And so she imparted into me, you know, the Lord's Prayer and how to pray, and just by example, by bringing it to me. So the point is that I was born into that. So later I was old enough to make the discernment, and my grandmother was Catholic. Well, I never became Catholic, so obviously I chose my own path. So for you, ladies, Sister Wanda and Ramel, how or when did you choose your faith based on the example that I just gave you, and why? Because we're born into it or we're not. And then either we stick with that or we don't. So tell me, which did you do?
Well, I praise the Lord. What you just said, you're giving my testimony. I, at a young age, came to the Lord at 5 years old. And
uh-huh.
at 5 years old, I made up my mind. I was determined to know more about Jesus, God and the work of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Mine came through the example, just like you said, of your grandmother. Mine came through the example of my grandparents and my parents.
Wow.
My grandfather was a great man of faith, Elder Minor Palm Sr. He was a man totally of faith, prayer, fasting, and testimonies. And he went about doing what the Bible says, that Jesus went about doing good. And I saw the example where my grandfather, if someone needed something, he provided for them what they needed. If someone had a need that was financial, he made it his effort to make sure that something in finance that he could provide. If they needed clothing, he would go about to see if they had clothes. So I saw live action, biblical principles being done right in front of my face at 5 years old. I could see the work of my grandfather, grandmother. Then in my own home, my parents, Elder Minor Palm Jr., and my mother, Evangelist Willie Lee Palm, who are both in heaven. They're both gone on. But their life in front of us of being honest, truthful, loving, their words is what they stood on. You knew that if they said no, it meant no. If they said wait, that's what it meant. If they said yes, you knew that's what you had to follow. So as you were saying about how your grandmother led you into faith, led you to pray, that's what I had those examples before me. I saw my father and mother reading their Bible. If they had a dispute, you know, I'm not saying it was peaches and cream and sugar and spice and everything nice, but if my mother and father were on different sides of opinion, it never got ugly. It never got violent. It never got where they were out of character of being Christians. They always did it with love and understanding. And we saw that, the children. We saw fairness, understanding, and them letting us see that light. So I gave my life to the Lord at 5 years old. I went to my mother, and I told her, I said, Mommy, I want to have Jesus in my life. And my mother was delighted. So she was there at home, and I told her, I remember it clearly, my mother was ironing clothes, and I said, Mommy, I want to give my life to Jesus. And she stopped ironing clothes, took me by the hand. We went into the living room, and we knelt down at the couch, and she began to say the prayer for a sinner. She let me know that I needed Christ in my life. She let me know I had to make that decision on my own. And then she asked me, after she said that prayer, she asked me, she said, Wanda, do you want Christ to live in your life forever? And I said, yes, I do. Then she asked me again, she said, are you willing to live for him? I said, yes, I am. And then she asked me another one. She said, are you saying that you turn your back on the things of this life to follow Christ? I said, yes. And then after that, she had me to pray out of my own prayer and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to live for you. I give my life to you. I want to follow you. And then after I did that, my mother closed with a prayer and asked the Lord for the rest of my life to lead me, guide me, to show me. And told my mother said in prayer, I remember she said this, she said, Lord, show Wanda your way so she can follow you. Then I remember her saying this, Lord, live in her life. Give her the strength and power to follow you. Give her a heart to live for you. Let her mind be on you. You know, because if we don't have a transformed mind, we're not going to live for Christ. And so then she asked the Holy Spirit to come in and to take over into my life. in our church, which is Church of God in Christ, we believe that you have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so my grandfather came over our house after he found out I gave my life to the Lord at 5, and my grandfather began to speak to me about I needed to have the Holy Spirit in my life, the Holy Ghost to lead me, guide me, to speak to me. After my grandfather told me that, I did not at that time get the filling of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But at 5, I lived my life, 6, and then on when I got 8 years old, I felt this strong urge in me after going to church, after hearing the preaching of the gospel. I began to speak in tongue at home, and I was doing something that was similar. I was ironing at 8. Mama had me ironing little hankies, and when I was ironing, the Holy Spirit just began to come over me, and then my mother called my grandfather, which he spoke to me over the phone and said, give your life wonder, and that's how my journey began at 5 and then 8, and then the Lord has walked with me through these years, and I thank him and I praise him forever and ever.
Wow, what a testimony. What an absolutely beautiful testimony, Wanda. Wow. Yeah, I would definitely. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, when I say, you know, the legacy, being born into it, and just to have, you know, your own mind made up, and to have your mother to usher you, and to have your grandfather to usher you. Now, this is your father's mother?
This is my father.
Your grandfather?
Yeah, my father.
I mean, your mother's father? Or
my
your,
father's
it's your,
dad.
Your father's dad, okay, and your mother.
My
so your father's dad and your
and
mother
my mom.
Ushered you. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
oh, wow. Well, what a beautiful testimony, and thank you so much for sharing. Now, Sister Ramel, when did you choose your faith and why?
Well, at an early age, I was going to church, and Sister Beverly, one thing about it, there was no escaping me going to church because we lived right next door to the church. And when we moved here, when I was probably about 5 years old, we went to church, and it was a every Sunday thing. My brother, my twin brother, and my older brother, we all went to church. Now, my twin brother joined the church before I did, and I soon followed him because he's just 7 minutes older than me, so I guess I was just a little slower than he was. But we all joined church together. So
wow.
My mother is
I didn't know you
that,
were a twin.
I'm a twin.
Wow.
I am a twin.
Uh-huh.
And my brother is a minister, ordained minister.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
So
and then you were
saying
your mother.
My mother is the one that introduced me to God because she was a Sunday school teacher.
Oh,
and
okay.
she taught the teens, believe it or not. So we had a little small a church next door. And it's right next door to the house. And it's been added on to and all of that. But that church is what is the foundation for everything that I grew up in. And I was telling Sister Wanda that every time I even dream about any church, it's always the one next door. It's not the one that I go to now because it's the same church, but my pastor's father had that church. And we moved to another location. But even now, at my age, whenever I dream about the church, it's always that one because I feel like because it was the foundation. You know, you always go back to the root and the seed of something. And so for me, it was that church because that is where my upbringing was. And I was a little shy, believe it or not, very, very talkative at that age. But very shy. So my twin was a little more aggressive than I was. But for me, that's when I looked to the Lord, and I just stepped out on faith and joined the church and was baptized and have been in the church all my life. It has just been it's just rooted in me. There's no way that I can not be a part of that, because I have my roots from that, and my parents, my grandparents, all of us. We're just faith people. We're
Amen.
Just believe in God, and I can remember my mother even saying years and years ago that her mother would say to her all the time, "Keep the faith." That's what I want you
wow.
to do, keep the faith. So that seed has just always been planted in me from the very beginning, and that's where my roots all started. And it's just beautiful to know that you can just live for God that way and make him an intricate part of your life. Every single moment of your life should be dedicated to that. So that's where my roots all started. And I was baptized. I go to a Baptist church, but I go to a whole lot of other churches too. So I believe in whatever God says, and so whatever word that He gives me, I'm gonna go with it. I'm just not gonna just sit there in one little space and say, okay, I got it.
Amen.
We got it over here. And I'm sorry if you don't have it over there, but we know it's the Holy Ghost, and we know that God provides wisdom for us to be able to branch out and know the truth. So
Amen.
We follow, you may follow a lot of different things, but when it comes to God, there's certain standards that we must live by, and we must live by what is in the Word of God. So, I definitely believe that.
Well, what history, you know, to have the church still standing, and, you know, that's the church from your childhood,
yes,
and
yes.
then to, of course, like you said, we go back to the foundation, so of course that's going to always be the same building. You know, you're always going to have the older building in your dreams, because that's the foundation. The newer building
yes.
is, you know, an extension of that. So thank you for
yes.
that testimony. Now, I don't want us to run out of time, but we have about an hour, and that was just the second question. So I really, really have to have you shorten your responses.
All righty.
Now. But these are the stories that we really need. It's coming, you know, full circle. It's almost like, you know, you couldn't have made that any shorter. Otherwise, if you leave anything out, we wouldn't get the full gist of it. So I get that
right.
as well. Yes. But now I want to be able to get all the gems that you have in you, ladies. And so we're going to make it through all of these
all right.
questions. So now, number three. Now, this is a testimonial about faith working in your life and overcoming. What single moment in your life most greatly challenged your faith? And I know that we all may have a few, but what single moment do you feel most challenged your faith when you were saying, "Oh, God, I don't know"? Wanda?
All right, for me. You know, this was a hard question because you said single moment. So many moments. I'm going to go right to the point, but I'm going to leave there. As a child, I could have died when I was in my mom's womb, and the doctor came and said to my father, "You can pick which one you want to live, your wife or this baby." And my father, at 23, married to my mother at 19, and here he had to make that decision. And that was a moment in my dad's life where he had to say, "I want both." And he went out on faith and trusted God that my life would be saved and that my mother would be saved. And my mother lived on, and here I am today. Then another moment came where my father had to make a decision about things that reflects to my life. I ate a piece of candy at 2 years old. I got away from my parents. I swallowed it. I got choked. My father looked at me, and my mother screamed, called the ambulance, and my father looked, and he knew I was dead on the living room floor of my aunt, my great aunt. But my father, a man of faith, picked up that phone, called the ambulance, and while the ambulance came, he prayed. And while they were transporting me, the attendant said, "She's dead already. The baby's dead. That's me, Wanda. I'm dead."
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
But my father prayed on, and my mother and my great aunt. And as they prayed, I coughed. And my cough, I spit out the candy, but I lived.
Oh,
so
my Lord.
When I got to the hospital, they test to see, since I was dead for a half hour, if I was okay.
Oh,
and
my Lord. What?
But another single moment came when I started a journey of having miscarriages in my life. My husband and I got married, and I had 8 miscarriages. I have no living children. And I came to that point that every pregnancy, I was looking for God to do a miracle, that one of these pregnancies
would come
9 months and I would have a baby. But I never did. I miscarried a set of twins. I miscarried 8 children.
Oh,
so
my
in that
Lord,
point of my life,
Wanda.
I was tested 8 Oof. Times. 8 pregnancies, 8 tests. However, with one more pregnancy, in that 8 time, I thought this baby was going to be it. I'm going full term, 9 months, the baby. I was pregnant and looked pregnant. I was teaching school at that time, and we were having the March of Dimes, and we were raising money for March of Dimes, and I felt that ugly rip in my stomach that I was so accustomed to feeling.
Oh, no.
I was miscarrying that baby. So on my birthday, I went home, and I could feel the dead baby inside. We called the doctor, told the doctor. The doctor said, "We don't have a bed for her, and we don't have a specialist on hand for her because of my record of having miscarriages, high risk, my life." So for a week until they could get the specialist to come in and fly in to work with me, I had that dead baby in me, and my family was praying that I would not die.
Oh,
so
my
when I finally
goodness.
Did get to the hospital, I had to have the baby, and the baby's dead, a week dead inside of me.
Ooh, 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 ooh,
so my
Lord,
faith
have mercy.
In God was stretched. It's a long story, but let me shorten it.
Yes,
I died.
Indeed.
That is
something else.
I died. For real, on the operating table. And the reason I was on the operating table is because I was admitted to the hospital so they can try to get the baby out. And during that time, they took an x-ray to keep seeing if everything was okay. Some, you know, with me, with the baby inside, the dead baby.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was the doctor went home that night, and he kicked over his briefcase, and out slid the x-ray of me. And he couldn't believe it. What am I doing with the x-ray? It should be here at the hospital. He picked it up, and he lit it up to the light in his home office, and he saw this mass. And he said, "Did we get that out, or is that the mass inside of her?" So he came back to the hospital. He bent down over me, and he told me, "Mrs. Burnside, I'm going to have to take you right into surgery again, and I need you to sign these papers." I said, "No, My husband used to sign, you got to sign it. I signed it. They took me in the surgery, and he said, the mass is there. They didn't move everything out of me. And he told me, if I burst it, you could die. Well, he told me to count back, and I count 10, 9, 8, 7, and then I began to speak in my heavenly language or speak in tongue or speak in the unknown tongue. And they said, what language is that? Well, at that single moment, I died. And from that moment on, the Lord raised me up. I looked down at my dead body, and I saw me dead. And I went on into the Lord's presence. I went into his presence. So at that moment, it was different. But I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to cut out all the other part. When I came to heaven, the Lord said, no, it's not your time. You got to go back. And I screamed and hollered. No, they said, there's no crying in heaven. I wasn't in the gate. I wasn't in. I was outside. And two angels brought me back into earth. And when I woke up, I was in the morgue with a sheet over my head. And I pulled the sheet over my face. And I looked and I saw a tag on my toe. And at that single moment, I saw the doors of the freezer. My body was next to go in. My foot was right at the door. And I heard somebody say, are you going to put that dead young lady that lost her baby in next? I heard that. And I raised up, and I'm telling you, people in that morgue did four things. Some ran out.
Wait a minute. Some wait. Sister Wanda. Wait, because I know you're not going to forget what you are about to say right now. So let me just pause right here. Sister Ramel, are you still here? Because I know you
yes,
know
I
the
am.
Story as close as you and Sister Wanda
I
are.
I know the story, but
oh, my God. I mean, oh, my God. I didn't know what the woman at the well would have on today. Now, did I? Woo, Lord have mercy. So now, Wanda, Sister Wanda, you are a miracle, and this is a testimony. So I'm going to let you
Lord.
Finish, but I bet you one thing. The majority of them ran, okay? I know I would have been gone through the door, okay? So now what did everybody else do? Some of them ran, some of them fainted.
A group ran, another group fainted, another group rejoiced in the Lord, and the next group came over and hugged me, kissed me, touched me, and they rejoiced and shouted around the table. And so that was a single moment that was pivotal in my life.
That is something else. That is a testimony. Now,
yes,
Wanda, where is the book for this? Where's your memoir?
Well, I wrote about that in two or three magazines, and they featured it. But I have not released the story because the journey involves a whole lot of fragmented parts. And, you know, fragment glass cuts. And it's not cutting nobody else, but it to live through that, it's painful. I can tell it now. It was a time in my life I could not talk about it. Every time my birthday come, March the 9th, at one time, I would not celebrate my birthday. Nobody celebrated my birthday for a period of 10 years. I would not allow it because it associates with me the death of my child. But one day, God got a hold of me.
Lord, have
mercy. I was reading a story about this lady and how she was able to only communicate by winking her eye. And they made a chart so she could wink and say, but then the Lord spoke to me and said, Wanda, you're taking pain in the death. I want you to take joy and have victory in the life. He said, I brought you back. That's what I want you to remember. I brought you back. And hallelujah, Jesus. That when I saw that no matter what my journey was, 8 miscarriages, 2 were twins, a set of twins, 8 miscarriages, and that baby, and then the doctor looking at that mass and coming back. And then he said, Wanda, you're looking at it the wrong way. You had a life with the deaths, but at every point I was there. You got to remember who was there. And that changed me. And then I began to celebrate my birthday after 10 years.
Oh, wow. Well, happy belated birthday, March 9th. And yes, happy, you know, life celebration, because, you know, we all deserve. And you never know. See, you never know what someone's walk is. You never know what someone's journey is. And you have to be careful how you, you know, treat people. You don't know what that person's journey is. So I really want to thank you for sharing and being so very transparent with something that is so heartbreaking and so tender. But I also want to, you know, just honor the fact that you are here. God has kept you for a purpose and a reason.
Yeah.
And I'm honored to be connected with you. So let me remind our listeners, you are tuned into The Woman at the Well, and this is so very profound. I am Beverly Black, the creator of The Woman at the Well, live on Tribe Family Channel, another creation of mine. And I'm so honored and privileged that Wanda Burnside and Sister Ramel Lee are here with me having this conversation. And we are sponsored in part by each of these queens. I thank them for their contribution in sponsoring this episode. And we are also sponsored by Genius is Common. I encourage you to visit geniusiscommon.com and evoke your genius. Now, we're going to continue with this profound discussion. So, Lord. Now, Sister Ramel.
Yes.
I know you have a single moment that greatly challenged life and your faith. So expound for us, if you will.
Okay. Well, I just want to share this faith challenge that I experienced, and it happened back in 1995. And at this time in my life, I was really open to the Holy Spirit, and I was trying to, you know, establish a more personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I, you know, sometimes God just sets you aside and you just forget about whatever is going on in the rest of your life, and you just try to, you know, he pulls you away. So in this particular time, I was still working at this hospital facility, and I was in management. And I was beginning to write prophetic writings. So when the Holy Spirit gave me all of these writings, I was just like astounded. And what really started it off was I was listening to like Trinity Broadcasting Network, and I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes on the TV say, God is going to give you something to do that nobody else could do. And so my spirit received that. And then another minister was saying that, you know, you should be talking to God and God should be talking to you. So you should be having this relationship where you hear from him. And so one day I was in my flat and I was praying and in the spirit, and all of a sudden I stopped and I picked up a pen, and the next minute I was just writing what the Holy Spirit was giving me. And so this went on, and I would just do that, and I would just meditate with in scripture and tapes and worship and all of that. Make a long story short, what ended up happening is that God was speaking to me through my writings. Satan also came.
Wow.
And so when the devil showed up, I did not fully realize that it was the devil.
Mm.
Because the writings that I was receiving was so prolific and profound, and even I couldn't even understand, you know, where the wisdom, the revelation. We know it was through the Holy Spirit, but the enemy showed up too. And so he came in the midst of everything that I was doing. And because I did not have a prayer covering over me, when I start going into that realm of the spirit, it made it very difficult for me to distinguish the difference between what God was saying and what the devil was saying, because it started coming through my writings. And so this particular time, I went to work, and I can remember it so very well. I went, and I was like on a mission. Oh, I was dressed up. I had this purple suit on with these gold shoes with the rhinestones on it and all of that. Cause
come on now. You're going out on the battlefield.
Oh, but I was royal. In my mind, I was royal. I was royal.
Amen.
Well, anyway, I got to my office. My staff was there, everything. But, I was writing all kinds of things at my office. On the job.
Mm-hmm.
When the day ended, I was supposed to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. They couldn't get me to leave. And I had,
what?
You know, I had just broke down mentally because the enemy came in and attacked my mind. They had to call security to come get me, take me out to the emergency room. It was hard.
I can imagine.
Oh, I was praying.
Because you weren't in control of it
at all. Look, I was
you were under attack.
I was praying in the spirit all in the emergency room. My girlfriend was with me. No matter what medication they gave me, nothing was working. I was feeling like I was crucified with Christ because I had my hands stretched out. Yeah, because they had my arms bound. Oh, and they couldn't even talk to me. Oh, because I was praying in the spirit, I was out of it. I had to end up being transferred there to a outpatient psychiatric facility. And so when I got there, they had like a conference for all of us, and they had all of these people in the room, including me. And I'm going to tell you, Sister Beverly, I looked over at this lady that was across from me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the lady looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not me. Now, she was looking just like I was looking. And the reason why I could say that is because when I looked at her, she had this stare like she was someplace else. And I looked and I said, oh, my goodness. When I looked over there at that lady, I saw myself because I was looking just like she was looking. And I said, Lord, whatever I have to do, I got to get up out of here. So whatever they want from me, whatever they say I need, whatever treatment they say I need, I gotta do whatever they say so I can get myself together. So anyway, I was there for a couple of days.
You got yourself together too.
Got myself together. I went back to work. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to go in the department. And I just kept telling the Lord, I just don't want to go. He said, mm-hmm. You go and you just walk in what I am sending. I'm sending you back in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do anything to you. They're not going to fire you.
Mm-hmm.
All they're going to do is send you somewhere to get you some assistance. So they did. They sent me to behavior services. And I mm-hmm. was over there for I don't know how many sessions and all of that. And then
mm-hmm.
they have
the employee services, that type of
yes,
stuff.
Yes, they have that mm-hmm. employee services. So they sent me to behavior services. Oh, I was good as I could be. Oh, I was listening to everything the psychiatrist said, whatever he said, take this medication, do this. Oh, I talked, I did everything. They diagnosed me by having a bipolar disorder. I said, no, that's not what I have. I know it was an attack from the enemy. But that's what you want to say I have? Okay. But do I
have
bipolar?
They always
have
a name for something. Always, they never.
I don't have no bipolar disorder. It was attack on my mind. So all I'm saying is that, you know, when you go out into the world and you're not covered, you know, you may be covered in your church, but you may not be covered to handle all the onslaught of all the devil is trying to come after you with.
Come
you
on now.
You got to have some covering. You got to be around people that's going to cover you where you are and show you the different tricks of the enemy so you don't get, you know, slapped down like I got slapped down. But it was such a trying time for me. But I stayed on that job another 7 years until God said it was time to go.
Amen.
So
what a testimony.
I'm just here to tell you that, you know what, the enemy is busy, but we know when God got you covered, he will bring you out of those situations that you find yourself in. And so I know that he covered me. I know he covered me. Because I'm
Amen. You are still here. And he covered you and Sister Wanda and myself as well. And so I thank him for that covering. And now we have heard, I mean, some of the most heartfelt testimonies from you two ladies that I have ever heard in my life.
Praise the Lord.
And our listeners are holding the lines. I see the lines are lit up. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to The Woman at the Well. Now, we're going to skip the next three questions in that category because I want to get to the or the next two questions in that category because I really want to get to the business and the health and wellness segment. And again, I really want to thank you for your testimonies. Now, how do you stay above the fray? There's so much going on out here. The world is just, you know, like Sister Ramel just testified, you know, when we're not covered, we're subject to enemy attack, and we have to recognize that enemy because, you know, the world is not going to recognize the enemy. The world is diagnosing everything as this, that, and the other. But when we see and encounter spiritual warfare, we know what we've encountered. So now how do you stay above the fray business-wise, switch gears and come out of the church and get into your business briefcases and tell me, because you're both business women, how do you continue to stay above the fray? You have families, you have ministries, but running your business and facing challenges, how do you stay above the fray of challenges in business?
Well, as for me, my whole purpose is to do the will of the Lord. So in doing that in business is I plan my day. I plan way ahead. Right now in my brain, it's Christmas. I'm already there. So what I do is plan. I chart things by dates and by events and by occasions. And I organize my life on paper, on my computer, and in my logbooks and anything that keeps me my agenda clear. I use calendars. I use notifications from people that tell me, Sister Wanda, I need you to come here, go there. So I'm always scheduling and rescheduling, and I'm also always canceling if I need to do so. So if somebody needs me on a certain date to do something, I try to stay organized. So in the business frame, it's being organized. It is arranging your schedule. I try to communicate. I keep my communication line open. You need to do that if you're going to be in business. You need to tell people yes or no, and you need to make it clear. I try not to tell people I'll get back to you because as a human being, I may forget to get back to you. So my life is schedules, calendars, planning, organizing, and also getting back with people and to communicate. If you're going to be in business, you need to give people definite information. I try to stay aware of my inventory. If somebody asks me, Sister Wanda, can you provide me with a certain, I do gift bags, friendship bags. And if somebody asks me, Wanda, can you do a back-to-school friendship bag, I need to know from them 3 months, 4 months, so I can plan, so I can order. So that's what I try to do, is to communicate and keep the lines open for their changes or rearranges, because I do not like to disappoint people, and I like people to inform me in time so I can work toward what they're doing. So those are some of the key points. That's not all, but for the people that are listening and you want to get into business, stay on course and stick to your schedule. Don't bend and switch because it's confusing for you and the people. Since 1995, I've done Matchless Love Ministry, and that's a real big business turnover. That's in the month of February, and that's dealing with Valentine. And I do a gospel track and products to help those that are hurting or broken.
Okay, well, let me stop you right there because you've answered the question about how to stay above the fray. And so we'll get to some of the things that you're doing down into the other questions. Thank you so much. Those are excellent answers on staying above the fray, too, and staying organized and focused. So I got a lot out of your answer there. Thank you, Sister Wanda. Sister Ramel, how do you stay
lines open?
Amen, amen, amen. And like you said, you know, don't send confusing signals, you know, stay consistent.
No.
Yes, so thank you so much. Sister Ramel, how do you stay above the fray?
Well, I stay, I try to, every day, I try to look around to see what my focus is going to be for the day because, first of all, everything that I'm doing for in my life is first of all, I'm going to focus on my ministry. So my ministry comes first with everything that I'm doing. And so any schedules or any other activities that I have around my world, it's I look to see what my ministry is going to do first, which I'm doing something all the time. So I try to make sure that I have my ministry products lined up. I have everything that I need. If I have to go out and do something, if I have to call somebody or follow up with somebody else, I know what to do. So I try to do my ministry items first before everything else in my life. And then the rest of if your family, you know, gets involved with other things in your sphere, then you handle that. But I try to work with my ministry first because it's such a part of me, and I do this on it every day.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you very much for your answer. And excuse me. Now, this is the part about what you have in your business queue. What can our listeners expect from you coming down the pipeline? What types of things do you already have going? Sister Wanda, you were mentioning the different facets of ministries that you're involved with. So what can our listeners expect from you coming down the pipeline, and what are you involved in?
All right. You know, we just finished with Father's Day, and fathers are a lot of time for a second because a lot of people are either in love with their dad or they're angry. But I press on and try to honor the dads. So the Lord just blessed me to do the Father's Day gifts and products for fathers. So that's, I just finished it up yesterday. So coming up is the 4th of July. I have a poem called Prayer Can Reach Heaven, and I usually use that during the 4th of July. So that poem and products. So I have that for July. This week is the 1st. So from now until the 15th of July, I will do ministry with reaching out, touching people that are doing patriotic things, people are doing things that honor our country or honor those soldiers or people that are part of doing work for others. So I do that in July. And then I get involved with Vacation Bible School, youth camp, and I work with anybody that's doing outreach during the summer for the youth. And so next, that's for July and August. And then I work with Princess Ministry, that's helping girls from the age of 5 up to 12, then from 16 into 20, and then beyond that. So we have that to come up in September. So that leads from that. So Ramel and I work together in these projects that I just mentioned. So that's our schedule. This holiday weekend, we'll be all involved with the red, white, and blue, doing things to honor our country and those that serve our country. So that's coming up this week, all this week.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And you said Sister Ramel was working with you on that,
yes.
But I'm going to ask her to also let us know what's coming down the pipeline, because
sure.
Both of you are authors as well. So I know you have books, and like you said, Sister Wanda, you have a poem that accompanies the event for the 4th of July, and both of you are awesome authors and poets. Now, Sister Ramel, what do you have coming down the pipeline? And you can, you know, further expound about what you and Sister Wanda are doing together in your ministry as well.
Well, for the 4th of July, I've already started. This past week, I just sent 3 priority boxes to Starksville, Mississippi, because my family, the Lee Davis family, is having a reunion this weekend, and I wanted to make sure that Touching Your Heart Ministries was a part of that reunion, and to bless them with patriotic floral bouquets. And I sent 50 ribbon poems. There's two or three different poems from the ministry, and I sent 60 patriotic poems. Now, when I say patriotic poems, I mean poems that are on beautiful patriotic stationery, you know, with the envelopes. And I sent all of that to my family so they can be blessed of this this coming holiday. And I will also be following up the 4th of July with doing that, which is something that Wanda and I do. We usually bless individuals with poetry and the patriotic bouquets and all of that for the holiday. So that is something that's going to be coming up. And,
Well, God bless both of your ministries and the work that you do out in the community, you know, in the community, to, you know, let the people know that they're loved, and to, you know, share God in their lives with your poetry and what have you. And so I want to ask God to continue to strengthen you so that you will be able to do your work. Now, we're going to go ahead and skip down to, the health and wellness portion.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is dedicated to colon cancer awareness and those we lost along the way. So we're going to pause for a moment of silence and reflection. And I thank you, ladies, for joining me in that. Thank you for sharing in the moment of silence and reflection. And what we're reflecting upon is Tribe Family Channel is partnered with Unity Advocacy Inc. So we are supporting Unity Advocacy, Inc. in providing services for people that have gone through the challenge of any type of cancer struggle. If you look on our flyers on the lower right-hand side, you will see a circle of ribbons that represent all of the different cancers. And so we ask that you would follow the page, facebook.com/Unity Advocacy, Inc., and just spread the word, as we'll be forthcoming with some of the activities and the different areas of our involvement. So thank you for sharing in that moment of silence. And we're going to go on into this segment and cover health and wellness. So starting with you, Sister Wanda, what do you do to stay on course health-wise? I know, you know, a lot of people have their different regimens that they do in the morning. Some use prayer, meditation, and then they, you know, have different dietary things that they incorporate in their routine, so exercise, what have you. What types of things do you do to stay on course health-wise?
Well, I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to speak on that. I have challenges with my husband being a diabetic and having high blood pressure, so I try to monitor what I give to him in regards to his diet. I try to be careful not to cook with foods that's high in fat or high with salt and high with the sugar. So that is something I do. I try to watch what I cook, how he consumes those foods, those challenges. In my life, I have issues and challenges with me having a circulatory problem, and so I will have swollen feet or swollen ankles. And so what I try to do is, a dear lady at a church I attend, she came to me and gave me a list of things that will be good for my circulation. So she recommend bananas, recommend adding lemon to my water, vinegar to water, and she also recommend using spinach and in your food. And she told me about carrots, raisins, and to use apples. And so when I shop, I try to make sure to buy those things that would help me with the circulation. So I'm recommending for those that are suffering out there. And I was blessed because I had prayed. I said, Lord, somebody's going to have to tell me something that's going to be helpful and practical for me. And that day when I went to church, she turned around, she looked at me and smiled. And I didn't, you know, think anything of it. I just smiled back. And then after church, she said, the Lord was speaking to me to give you a list of things that would be helpful.
Wow.
And I still have that handwritten note, and I want to pass it on to your listeners. And she recommended carrots and the raisins and the cucumbers. And she told me try to use apple cider vinegar in my water, and to take like a half glass in the morning to get your system going. So those are some of the things I try to remember in regards to my husband's challenges as a diabetic. He was just found out about that about 2 years ago. So monitoring what he does for his diet and controlling that, and then for me. So along with that, the prayer routine, seeking the Lord, praying, and those things I try to incorporate in my life, Bible study, those things to help with my health, my challenges, or the things that my husband's going through.
Amen, 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 amen. And we lift you and your husband up in prayer and ask that God will continue to keep you strong through the challenges, and also to always, you know, create that pathway where there's an answer for any challenge that you're facing, that he would always reveal that to you, just like when the lady turned around. I have a friend that recommended different herbs. So I drink a herbal tea, and it may contain turmeric, cumin, garlic powder, different supplements that cayenne pep, different supplements along with or herbs, you know, and spices. Right. But also I'm familiar with some of the things that you named off as well, Sister Wanda, as ways of countering, you know, struggles. So thank you for sharing that. And Sister Ramel, share with us, what do you do to stay on course health-wise?
Well, what I try to do is try to make sure that I routinely go to my internal medicine physician and make sure that I get my physical exam. And I also have, you know, we have high blood pressure problems in our family and also stroke, because that's what my mother had 2 years ago, and my twin brother has diabetes. So, and it runs in the family on my mother's side, and this is not something that he always had. For years and years, he never had it, and maybe about 8 years ago, he was diagnosed with diabetes. So for me, I try to make sure that I eat healthy, and that is not something that I have been doing lately. And I think because life gets in the way with all these situations, when you have a family that you're trying to, I was a caregiver for my mother for 2 years. And so I was trying to walk every day 45 minutes. And I had to end up stopping because I just couldn't do it, because she needed care around the clock while I was here. And so I got away from doing my routine walking, which also helped me maintain my weight. But see, I'm going to try to get back to that now, because she has gone on with the Lord. So now I can get back to doing the things that I can do to take care of myself. And I think it's really critical that we look at trying to make sure that we are healthy, we are eating properly, we're making sure that we get as much water in us, because a lot of times I neglect myself sometimes running and not drinking the water that I should. I try to stay away from pops and all of that. But the main thing is diet and exercise and trying to keep your body in shape by routinely going to the doctor. And I know a lot of men don't always want to go. Women are more conscious of what's going on, and so they'll go if something is going on, but sometimes men won't go. But in the meantime, I think it's real critical that you anything that's going on, you try to make sure that you get some kind of medical attention to avert the problems that will just carry you into another, area.
Right, another situation.
Yes.
And you know what? You hit a very good point. It is so very important to drink enough water. And I used to stress that. I used to have a health and wellness newsletter before I even started Gumbo for the Soul Series anthologies. And I would stress the importance of water. So thank you for reminding our listeners. Now, we have come to the bottom of the show. This has been very enlightening. You two sisters are on fire for God. You're anointed, and you definitely, definitely have a ministry and an appointment, because God kept you both here for a reason. You've gone through challenges, you've overcome, and I know you know that I write quotes. So one of my quotes is that everyone is hurting and healing from something. And so we don't profess that we are perfect, and that we're just so untouched by life struggles that we can preach perfect living, but what we are doing is testifying to our challenges, and you ladies have some amazing testimonies. So I want to thank you for sharing those testimonies and helping others to get through some challenges that they may have in life by hearing what we've made it through in life. So now we're going to identify where our listeners can catch up with all of us, starting with you, Sister Wanda. Where can our listeners connect with you on social media?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I am on LinkedIn, Twitter, and I am part of Goodreads. And I also am a part of Chocolate Pages. So if you Google me, it'll all come up. Wanda
awesome.
J. Burnside, and even Tribe Bookshelf comes up. So my name, Wanda J. Burnside. I have my book, Don't Mess With Me, on Amazon.com. It, you can order it in paperback, or you can buy it on Kindle. That's another way you can reach me. You can reach me through my email. It's WTV, as in Victoria, ISION, at hotmail.com. That's WTVision at hotmail.com. You can also reach me at my P.O. Box if anybody wants to. Contact me through my P.O. Box. I'll be really, really, really happy to hear from anybody that's a listener. You can contact me at my P.O. Box, and you can contact me about any supplies or anything that I offer. My P.O. Box is P.O. Box 125, Dearborn, one word, Michigan 48121-0125. And my phone number is 313-491-3504. And as I said, Google my name, it'll pop up, and I'll be so happy to hear from any of your listeners. It'll be an honor, a great joy. So I look forward to them contacting me.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, Sister Ramel, the
yes.
same thing. How can our listeners reach
well,
you on social media?
The listeners can reach me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and also by email. My email address is Ramel, RAMELLE, Skip, SKIP, all one word, at AOL.com. And my phone number is 313-680-4429. And I have a P.O. Box, P.O. Box 119, Lincoln Park, Michigan, 48146-0119. And also, I have a book, Step Into His Greatness, that is on at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and A-Books and BookDepository.com. And it's also on Kindle, so that would be something wonderful. If anybody wants meditation messages from the Lord, they can go online and review it and be blessed and order copies of that book from Amazon and other locations.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, you can reach Tribe Family Channel via the studio page,
yes.
blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Gumbo for the Soul International is our parent company, and we are part of that family brand. Tribe Family Channel is on Facebook at facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. We are on Twitter at Tribe Family US. The Woman at the Well is also on Twitter at the number one woman at the well. Woman at only one T, sharing with the well. Also, I am Beverly Black. I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul International, and The Woman at the Well. This is part of our family brand, so you can reach out to me, and all of the entities will populate if you simply follow our studio page. Once again, blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul, and I'm also on Twitter at Gumbo for the Soul. Beverly Gumbo for the Soul Black on Facebook. So I want to thank our guest, Wanda, Sister Ramel, you both have some awesome testimonies. I cannot wait for our listeners to be able to tell us how they feel about listening to the show and the archives that will soon be available at the conclusion. So thank you so much once again. This is very sweet of you to give your sponsorship and to be on the show and to help us stay on the air. So from me, from Geniuses Common, our sponsors, I am the woman at the well, Beverly Black, and I want to thank you for being with us this evening. Be blessed, my sisters. And Sister Wanda, we're praying for your family members and that everything will come
thank
out
you.
With a good report, okay?
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure and such an honor. I have had a glorious time. Thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your kindness.
It is my absolute honor. Go ahead, Sister Ramel. It's my absolute honor.
Thank you, Sister Beverly and the radio audience. I am just so honored and pleased to be a part of the Woman at the Well, and I have enjoyed our conversations tonight, and God bless each and every one of you.
And God bless each and every one of you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.